desire to follow you. And God, we can do that openly. We can do that publicly. God, I pray for those around the world who can't. I pray for those around the world who are persecuted severely, even unto death, for their faith. God, I pray that through all of that, you would continue to be glorified. And God, as we look into Proverbs chapter 20 this evening, God, I just pray that you would open our hearts and open our ears to hear what you're saying to us. Thank you for your Son. It's in his name we pray. Amen. So let's just read Proverbs chapter 20. Wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. The terror of a king is like the growling of a lion. Whoever provokes him to anger forfeits his life. It is an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, but every fool will be quarreling. The sluggard does not plow in the autumn. He will seek at harvest and have nothing. The purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find? The righteous, who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. A king who sits on the throne of judgment winnows all evil with his eyes. Who can say, I have made my heart pure, I am clean from my sin? Unequal weights and unequal measures are both alike an abomination to the Lord. Even a child makes himself known by his acts, by whether his conduct is pure and upright. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. Love not sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes, and you will have plenty of bread. Bad, bad, says the buyer, but when he goes away, then he boasts. There is gold and an abundance of costly stones, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Take a man's garment when he has put up security for a stranger, and hold it in pledge when he puts up security for foreigners. Bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be full of gravel. Plans are established by counsel, by wise guidance, wage war. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, therefore do not associate with a simple babbler. If one curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in utter darkness. An inheritance gained hastily in the beginning will not be blessed in the end. Do not say, I will repay evil. Do not say, I will repay evil. Wait for the Lord and he will deliver you. Unequal weights are an abomination to the Lord, and false scales are not good. A man's steps are from the Lord. How then can man understand his ways? It is a snare to say rashly, it is holy, and to reflect only after making vows. A wise king winnows the wicked and drives the wheel over them. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all his innermost parts. Steadfast love and faithfulness preserve the king, and by steadfast love his throne is upheld. The glory of young men is their strength, but the splendor of old men is their gray hair. Blows that wound cleanse away evil. Strokes make clean the innermost parts. So as I thought about and studied Proverbs chapter 20, my mind went to a lot of different directions. And as so many Proverbs, what they're really good at is giving us a lot of direction on a lot of different subjects. So if we look at Proverbs chapter 20 and we look at a few of the things we can pull from it, first, found right in verse 1, drunkenness is wrong and foolish. Avoid quarrelsome behavior, it's also foolish. Laziness is foolish, and you will pay physically for it. We read that the sluggard has no food to eat at harvest. People can boast about being loving, but in actuality, it's hard to find a faithful person. Righteous living leads to family blessing. Not one is without sin. God's just, and he detests injustice. Our sin nature is evident even as young children. It is hard to find people who speak knowledge, have integrity, avoid people who gossip, they are bad news, respect your parents, don't seek vengeance, think before you speak. We get a lot of different subjects, a lot of different things that we could speak about in Proverbs chapter 20, but I'll be honest that in my study recently, and really in anything I've been reading in Scripture or reading about Scripture, there's been one kind of question that's been on my mind. And it's a question that's been on my mind pretty much from the beginning of summer, and I'll tell you how it started. At sports camp, I was asked to do a baptism for somebody. And we get to do a lot of that at camp. I think we saw about a dozen people baptized this summer at camp, young people who decided to take that step in following Jesus. Now, in doing that, they asked me if I would baptize them, and I always ask them a few questions. I want to make sure that when we're doing that, they understand what the step is that they're taking. And as I was asking these questions to this one person, something struck me. And that something was, when I think about baptism, I think a lot about what others have told me about baptism. But one thing I realized is I had never looked into Scripture for myself and really studied what baptism was and the examples that we have in Scripture. So it started getting me asking this question is why? Why do we baptize people? And then this question just started going from baptism to other areas of my faith. And I think it's an important question that we need to ask, the question of why. And as I was looking at Proverbs, and I know that we've been studying Proverbs here in the evening, I think a good question to ask is why? Why do we look at Proverbs and know that these are things that will instruct us in our day-to-day living, and they're things that we want to aspire to be like? And if we look at Proverbs chapter 1, we get the why of the writer of Proverbs. He tells us why he wrote the book. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing and righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So why study Proverbs? Why look into Proverbs? The author gives us some reasons for it's for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior that is right, just, and fair. It's prudence for the simple. It's knowledge and discretion for the young. It's so that the wise can continue to learn. And Proverbs emphasizes our need for reverence towards our Creator. So if you're a parent, likely the question why is a question that you've often heard. I know my son, he's in the stage of why. In fact, there was one time we were at camp, and we were on the docks at camp, and I was bringing him back to our house, which is across the campground, and the entire way, he was asking this question, why? We were on the docks, and he says, why is there wood on the docks? I said, well, so we don't fall into the water. And then we got to the end of the docks, and there was a set of stairs. And he asked, why is there stairs at the end of the dock so we can get to the other dock? Why is there sand? And I said, because it's nice to have sand on a lake. It's nice to have a beach. Well, why are there footprints in the sand? Because people are heavy enough that they make footprints in the sand. Well, why are people heavy enough to... And it went on and on and on. And eventually, I just started having to answer his questions by saying, because it is, because that's just the way it is. So I'm used now to having to answer the question why, and I'll admit sometimes I get lazy and I'm just okay with saying just because. But I had the opportunity too at camp this summer to speak at youth camp. And as I was preparing my messages for youth camp's a really awesome week to speak at, because by youth camp, the kids who are at camp really want to be there and they really want to just grow spiritually. So you know they're there, and they're there attentive in chapel and ready to listen and to learn. And one of the questions I asked some of the staff and some of the young people at camp over the summer to prepare for my youth camp sermons was the question of why is it important to you to follow Jesus, or why is it important to you to live as he asks you to? So all these commands that we see in Scripture, all these things we see in Scripture that we're told to live by, why is it important to you to live that way? And surprisingly, from more than one person, the answer I got was just because. The answer I got was similar to that, that they didn't really have a thing that they could pinpoint as to why they thought it was important to actually live out the commands of Scripture. They knew the importance of Jesus. They knew the importance of understanding the gospel and accepting Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. But they didn't understand why it was important to live out the commands that they were reading. And I think it's a question that many wrestle with, at least in my conversations, especially with young people. That question of why is one that many wrestle with. Because the thing is, you look at Scripture, and oftentimes in Scripture, what you're reading, the instruction that you're reading, goes very much against what we're told and taught and what's emphasized in the world. Like if we looked at that list, and we don't have time to, but if we looked at that list in Proverbs chapter 20, many of the things that are listed in Proverbs 20 goes against a lot of the teaching of the world. And I think when we look at it, and as I've been talking to young people, a question that often comes up is, why am I spending my life on this cause? Why am I trying to live this way? We look at the persecuted church. You look at stories like Fatima. You look at stories like people who have lost their lives because of their faith. And there has to be a small part of us, at least there is in me, that asks the question, why? Why is our faith, why is this word that we're spending time studying this evening, why is this word so valuable that we should say, even unto death, I am a Christian? At the Ready Answers Apologetics Conference a few weeks ago, one of the speakers spoke about the resurrection. And he spoke about the evidence that there was to support the resurrection. And it was overwhelming, really. When you look at it and you sit down through a series of somebody who really knows what they're talking about, and they know the history, and they know a lot of the kind of behind-the-scenes things that maybe the common person doesn't know, it's really overwhelming the amount of evidence there is that the resurrection indeed happened. And from that talk, he mentioned that that should be confidence for us as Christians, that we know we're following the one true God, because that one true God beat death itself. And something that's interesting to me is I've talked to a few people who have decided to take a step back from their faith. Talked to a few people who have grown up in the Christian faith, grown up professing Christ, and for whatever reason, they've taken a step back. And you know, any of those people I've talked to, and I'll say I've maybe talked to 6 or 7, but any of those people I've talked to have all said that they do believe the Bible is true. They do believe that Jesus is God. They do believe that he rose from the dead. But what they have trouble with is the why of the whole matter of why they're spending their lives following the commands of Scripture. They don't see why that's important. And what I want to do this evening, and this is when I read Proverbs chapter 20, I read it in light of thinking this already. So as I read it, a few verses really popped out to me. And those verses, to me, answered the question, why? So why do we strive to live out God's word? So we're just going to look at a few verses in Proverbs chapter 20. I know that these are not all the reasons why, but it offers us a few reasons anyways, found in Proverbs chapter 20 as to why we strive to live out God's word. So first is, there is hopelessness without the message of this word. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 9, we read, "Who can say I have made my heart pure? I am clean from my sin." Now, in preparing for this message, I was reading an article on some of the problems in interpreting Proverbs. And one of the problems they listed was many of the lessons found in Proverbs are actually unmentioned. Many of the verses say something, and it doesn't necessarily give you the answer, but it leads you to that answer. And this would be one of those. Who can say I have made my heart pure, I am clean from my sin? The implied answer there is no one. No one can say that. There's a certain hopelessness without the truth of the gospel. We pay attention and we study this word because it's our very source of hope. And if we can trust it for a living hope for eternity, that's what we're talking about in the morning here at Bethel in 1 Peter, this living hope we have as Christians. If we can trust it as our living hope for eternity, then we can trust it as our hope through various situations in this life. And we can trust it for our hope in the different trials and the different circumstances that come up in this life. So we study this book, we study God's word, we strive to live it out because it offers us this living hope through different trials of life. And I can't think of any trial that this is seen more evident than the trial of death. Kathleen and I, over the summer, were praying pretty emphatically for one of her uncles, Uncle Tim. Uncle Tim was diagnosed with lung cancer. He was given 2 months to live and wanted nothing to do with the gospel. And that's a really desperate situation because you realize this person just has, we all have a limited amount of time on this earth, but they're actually told you have a limited amount of time on this earth. You have a couple of months to live. And Kathleen's dad, his brother, tried to witness to him several times, and he really wanted nothing to do with it. And there was a few times nearer to the end where he thought maybe he got through to him, and we won't know this side of eternity. But I compare that and contrast that with those people who I've seen in my life and those situations of people who are going through the same situation with the hope of Christ. And there's just such an incredible difference. So this word, this gospel, this message that God has for us, it gives us this living hope. Next, why do we strive to follow God's word? It's because God is the creator. Verse 12, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. God is the creator of everything we see. God is the creator of the entire universe. We have this building at camp. It's a little shed beside the boathouse. It's our pump house. The pump house, it's a pretty small-looking structure. You wouldn't think it's very important, but it's actually one of the most important buildings at camp. Because what the pump house does is it ensures that there's clean drinking water to the rest of camp, to every single building at camp. And without clean drinking water, you can't run a summer camp. You just can't do it. So this pump house is really important. And there are times where I'm there in the summer and the maintenance guy isn't there, or somebody who doesn't know the pump house really well isn't there, so I'm the guy. And there have been times alarms have gone off, there's been water shooting out of places that it's not supposed to. There's things happening. And you know, my first phone call, and they know this, would be to Don Robert. Because Don Robert was the one who I put a lot of the pump house together. And he spent hours and hours in that pump house. I would almost dub him as the creator of the pump house. I know that there were other people involved, but Don knows the pump house. So naturally, I'm going to call Don when I have a question about the pump house. And to me, that's a pretty good, parallel of why we look into God's word when we have questions or when we face trials of this life. God is the creator of the universe, so why would we not look to his word as we're living here on his creation, in his creation? James chapter 1. James is talking about wisdom, and he says that if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God generously, because he gives to all who ask without finding fault. And that verse has been something that we've really held on to as the directors of camp and just in our adult life, my wife and I, because there's a lot of situations where we need wisdom. And that wisdom comes from the creator of the universe, and this book is full of that wisdom. As we look into Proverbs, we see, and I've seen this as I read Proverbs, it's very disjointed. And as far as speaking on it, it makes it very difficult to speak on a chapter when it's about 17 different thoughts. However, it's a very good book as you look to day-to-day living, different messages and different advice in how we should treat different situations. So we look into God's word because God is the Creator. We follow this word. We strive to live it out because God is the Creator. Not only is He the Creator, God is the Sovereign Creator. In verse 24, a man's steps are from the Lord. How then can man understand his way? God is in control. And as there's chaos going on all around us, and I would say that as we look in this world, there's a lot of craziness that goes on around us. There's a lot of things that maybe we don't understand. There's a lot of things that leave us asking the question, well, why did that happen? Why did that happen this way? Why, God? But we can be confident to know that God is ultimately in control. A man's steps are from the Lord. How then can man understand his way? God is in control of our lives. God is in control of what happens day to day. 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 14. This has been one of my favorite verses as of late. It's one maybe I've shared here already. But here's what's happening in 2 Samuel chapter 14. There's a lot of chaos going on. There's chaos in a lot of sin happening, a lot of things happening in 2 Samuel chapter 14. There's murder, there's rape, there's incest, there's all these things happening and all this chaos happening. And in the midst of this kind of chaotic story, we have verse 14. And verse 14 says this, "We must all die. We are like water spilled on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. But God will not take away life. And He devises means so that the banished one will not remain an outcast." So to me, in the midst of that kind of chaotic story, we have this verse that so clearly points to the gospel. So clearly points to the gospel. Let's read it again. "We must all die. We are like water spilled on the ground, which cannot be gathered up. But God will not take away life, and He devises means so that the banished one will not remain an outcast." The means that He devised was the cross. It was a plan from the very beginning, and in the midst of the chaos of this world, we can know that God is in control. And if you read the Old Testament, and you didn't have the New Testament, you would think there's a lot of out-of-control stuff happening. Like, God, what are You doing? But then you start to read the Old Testament in light of the New Testament, and you see that God had a plan. And as we go day to day, there will be days, and we might never get the answer to this, but there will be days where we'll ask God, what are You doing? Like, what's going on? But we can be confident in the fact that God is in control. And finally, God is the sovereign Creator who knows and loves us deeply. In verse 27 of Proverbs chapter 20, "The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all his innermost parts." God knows us intimately. That breath of life He breathed into us in creation, it still is there today, and God knows us. He knows us intimately, and not only does He know us intimately, He loves us dearly. Sometimes I'm tempted to think that because God knows me, because He knows my innermost thoughts, that would make me far less lovable. Like, I don't often display my innermost thoughts, especially the ones that aren't very nice, outwardly, right? Like, people wouldn't see that of us. God knows all of that about us, and He loves us dearly. In 1 John chapter 5, we read, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." His commandments are not burdensome. We strive to follow these commandments. We strive to follow, to live out His word, because it's an act of love in this relationship that we have with God, the sovereign Creator of the universe. And this is something that I think a lot of people miss. They miss the fact that these commands in Scripture that we're striving to live out, we're living them out as an act of love because we're in this relationship with God Almighty. They miss that, and it just becomes kind of a list of do's and don'ts. a list of things that we're trying to strive for toward for maybe a reason that we don't know. I was talking to one young person who has taken several steps back from his faith. And I asked him, what happened? What happened? And his response broke my heart was, I was sick of the pressure. Because he saw Christianity, he saw God's word, these commands that God's word has for us, he saw them as pressure. He didn't see them as not burdensome. He didn't see them as an act of love, as an act of relationship. And as I think about Proverbs and I look at that list of things that even just Proverbs 20 has for us, I think you could look at that list and you could maybe see it as burdensome. But understand that God, the sovereign creator of the universe, he knows the ins and outs of every part of this universe. He has put that list together because he cares for us and he wants what's best for us. And we ought to strive to live out those commandments, not because we're trying to be more perfect than the person next to us, but because it's an act of love in relationship with a loving Father. So as we go on from here, as we live our lives this week, and as we think about God's word, let's read it as people who seek and strive to live it out, because we understand that it's about relationship. It's about the love that God has for us and the love that we can show him through how we live. So there's a lot that we could have spoken about on Proverbs 20, and I hope people go home and they read Proverbs 20 and take some of those pieces of information and apply them to their lives. But what God has laid on my heart for this evening was that question of why. Why do we strive to follow the commands of God in Proverbs and all throughout his word? Let's pray. God, I thank you for your love. God, I thank you that your commands are not burdensome. God, I thank you that we strive to live out your word because of love. And God, as we look into your word and we see different commands and pieces of advice and pieces of wisdom, God, that we would strive to live these out not as some sense of duty, but because we are in love with you, and it's an expression of that love. God, again, I thank you that we can come together like this. And God, again, I pray for our brothers and sisters around the world. God, I pray for strength for them. God, I pray that they would continue to be lights shining bright for your glory. Thank you for your son. It's in his name we pray. Amen.